And our text will be found in Proverbs 24. It won't be hard to find if you mark your Bibles. It's only three verses away from where we left off. How often does that happen? Just three verses away. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. Now, the last time, the backdrop was what? It was a field. And you were supposed to make sure, handle your business so that that field could produce and make sure it's going to produce before you go off spending your time on what you really want. You want a house. But you really can't handle your business. You can't get the outcome you're supposed to have if you don't handle business first. Am I right? And so you had to do what was necessary first, as opposed to what was optional. And we are enticed to do what's optional first because it's more fun, because it makes you look better in the eyes of people, because it's more comfortable. Amen?
Amen.
So this proverb is beautiful, I believe. And so I want you to understand that in order to do first things first, like we learned last week, here's what you got to do. You got to appreciate your tent. If you appreciate your tent, you won't run off and build a house before you handle your land. But we convince ourselves that our tent ain't good enough. We talk to ourselves over and over again and tell ourselves why our tent is not good enough. And so therefore, we do whatever we have to, and God allows it, to run off and build a house. You know what we're saying? We're saying, God, my tent's not good enough. So you can't do first things first because you will be convinced, hear me, that I'm in a desperate situation. You will be in a tent, protected, sheltered, and you will convince yourself that you're not. Just like in the garden, they had everything and Satan came in and convinced them that they had nothing. They had a God that loves them more than anything. And they were convinced that he was against them. I'm trying to get deep down into you. Mm-hmm. You need to appreciate your tent. Why? Because if you don't appreciate your tent, you will run off and feel justified in going off and building a house. And here's the thing. If you have the provision, you can't build a house without the provision. So just because there's stuff there that you can build a house doesn't mean you should build a house. But we will convince ourselves by false theology, that therefore, since I can, then I should. But you've convinced yourself that you're desperate. You've convinced yourself like there's rain falling on you, like there's sun scorching down on you, as if you don't have a place to be. So you feel justified because it's what you want to do, and God made it possible, so you run off and do it. He says, till that field, make sure that you will have what it is that you need to survive before you run off and build a house. Amen. Proverbs is some serious stuff. You don't hear people preaching Proverbs. It's not sexy. And yet we have this whole book there. God is trying to tell you ahead of time so you don't get hit upside your head. So do first things first, but you cannot do first things first. You will think you're doing first things first and be wrong about it if you do not appreciate your tent. Somebody's feeling it. Amen. Somebody's getting something from it. Amen. But here it is. Somebody's getting it ahead of time. Somebody's getting hit upside the head. Proverbs is there to be used before you get into trouble. Good advice is there to be used before you get into trouble. Amen. And if you think you're a little bit of trouble, still listen to Proverbs because there's more trouble you could be in. Amen. It could be worse. Amen. So let's not focus too much on, well, man, I blew it. I should have known or I should have listened. How about start right now? Amen. How about don't do the wrong thing twice? How about not making the same mistake twice? Why not try not to double down on your hubris? Try not to double down on your pride. Try not to double down on your trying to look good instead of being good. Amen. Try not to double down on that. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 This is a beautiful proverb we're going to learn about here today. Have I built up your anticipation?
Yes.
This is a beautiful, 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 I say beautiful, proverb. Amen, amen, amen. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. And guess what? He's still using a field analogy. Still talking about a field. Now, you've got your field, right? You can do whatever you want. You're the owner of the field, right? What should you do first? Work that field so that you can eat. Go to your tent when the sun goes down. God will breathe for you that you don't have to think about overnight. And the sun comes up, and what do? You get back and you till that land. And you thank God for it. And you thank God for the energy that you have to till the land. What do we do? All too often, we cursing the land. Cursing the fact that we have to till the land. And yet somebody else wishes they had the land to till. Is this hitting you somewhere? There are analogies in our lives. Whether it's our jobs, relationships, it could be whatever it is. Get back in that tent. Let God bless you to breathe overnight where you don't have to think about it. You get back up in the morning and what? Till the land. Listen to me now. I am not thinking about a house while I'm tilling this land. I am focused on the job at hand. Because the house, if it comes, it's because God blesses me. And it's because I've handled my first things first. I'm not tilling the land so I can therefore run off and buy or build a house. I'm tilling the land first, and once that job is done, now I can look up and say, Lord, what's next? Now I can look up and say, Lord, you know what? I'd like to have a house. I have a tent. I thank you for it, but I'd like to have a house. Instead, Lord, I want a house. Lord, I hate this tent. I hate this tent. Till the land. First things first. Tilling the land is not fun, though. Tilling the land is not popular, though. Tilling the land doesn't make people look at you like you are wonderful and special. It's easy to do the wrong thing. Amen?
Amen.
It's a lot harder to do the right thing. Let's look at verses 30 through 34. And I want you to read all five verses for me. As soon as, let's say amen when you have it. How about that?
Amen.
You have it, huh? Oh, that was easy. That's right, because we were right there last week, huh? Amen. Let's go ahead and read it. I went by the field
of the sloth,
mm-hmm.
and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding.
Yes.
And lo,
it was all grown over with thorns, and nestles had covered the face thereof. Uh-huh. The stone along thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. Keep going. That's some serious King James, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I understand that. I'm sure we understand a lot of it. I hope we do. But that's some serious King James stuff. Wow. This is a beautiful proverb. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, what would the topic be? This is what we do, right? What is the topic? One could stand back and say, at the most general level, the topic is laziness. See, slothful is not a word that we use a lot in the English language, but anybody watch the Discovery Channel or Nature, whatever it is, and you see an animal called a sloth.
Mm-hmm.
Is the animal, I think mammal, from a mammal standpoint, it has the slowest metabolism of all. It moves like this. As it's climbing up a tree. Slothful. That's what the word was designed or created after the animal, the sloth.
Mm-hmm.
Slow. And so basically what it's used in the Old English, it's used to define, essentially it's a synonym for lazy. Laziness, slothful is laziness, or not handling your business. Often I believe it's in the New Testament, it talks about slothfulness in terms of handling your business affairs. So the topic, you could say, is laziness. Now, if you read it a different way, you'll say, well, the topic really is, Pastor, I mean, if you look at the punchline at the end, the topic is poverty. The topic is losing your money. But it's no more losing your money. It's no more poverty. It's no more about that than the previous proverb that we learned about was about poverty. Either way, you end up in deep trouble. Either way, you end up with not having what it is that you need. Ultimately, he was teaching us last time about doing first things first, because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. You won't have any food to eat. But now he's talking about laziness. Anybody know anything about laziness? Anybody in here ever admit being lazy? All right, I got one hand. Got a lot of mm-hmms, but I got one hand. Laziness. Laziness can get you into trouble, can't it? And if you think about it a little bit deeper, he's also talking about laziness and its consequences. Are they good or bad? So why do we do it? You're like, if I'm lazy, I'm going to have bad consequences. That's like, I put my hand in and get burned, and I put it right back in again. If it was easy, we wouldn't have Proverbs about it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So let's dive in and see what we can learn about laziness. So I think I'm hearing that I have some students that are excited, that are enthused about learning about laziness. Isn't that something to learn about? Pastor, you know what you don't preach enough about? You really don't preach. I haven't heard a word about laziness. Why are you leaving that out? I need to know about laziness. Anybody excited about learning about laziness and the negative consequences that come? Isn't that crazy? We can be excited about that? Well, I told you it's a beautiful proverb. Amen. So when we look at verse 30, and I don't know if I'm going to take all that long, but I can't see a clock, so I don't know what to tell you. He says here, this is Solomon speaking, and you know how he works it. He says, I went by the field of the slothful. So this field is owned by somebody who happens to be lazy and does not take care of business. So I happen to walk by his field. And by the vineyard, just another way of putting it, of the man void of understanding. So is this, we say somebody that just is not too smart? Are we saying somebody that lacks wisdom? We are talking about someone who lacks wisdom. So here's the thing. She says common sense. That's on the right street, not quite the right address yet. But it's right. It's good to be on the right street. He's missing a certain kind of understanding. I walked by the man's field who was lazy, and he was missing understanding. The understanding that he's missing is the wisdom of what happens when you're lazy. He's not missing some fancy, you know, ethereal knowledge. What he's missing is the understanding of, if you are this way, what will happen? If he understood what would happen, then he wouldn't do it. Just like Proverbs 1, I believe it's Proverbs 1. Talks about a bird won't go into the net if they watch you put the net up.
Amen.
He was trying to tell you in chapter 1 that don't be enticed by those folks that want you to go off and do sinful things that you'll get all rich on, and understand you'll go their way because you'll think you're going to get away with it. But let me just tell you, you think that just like a bird that didn't see the net get put up. If you knew you were going to have a red behind, you wouldn't do it. I'm trying to tell you, you're going to go with them because you don't know you're going to get caught. You're going to go with them because you don't know that fat meat is greasy. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm telling you ahead of time because what you cannot see, because you won't see it. So what he's missing here, he's not just saying, oh, he's devoid of understanding. Maybe he doesn't have all this amazing proverbial knowledge. No. I walked by the field of a lazy man that didn't understand the pitfalls of laziness. Do you hear me? I walked by the field of a man who had some characteristics or some flaws in his character that did not understand the consequences of the flaws. Not some weird generalized knowledge. I walked by a man who was a certain way that didn't understand the consequences of that way. And I observed some things. Amen? So let's dive in just a little bit deeper. Verse 31. So I walked by the field. I already know this man is lazy. Now, I have no idea how he knows this, but it might not have been, it might have been something that he used an example. It wasn't real. He might not have been looking at a man with a field. But it helps us get a word picture, doesn't it? So I'm walking by this field, and lo, say lo, and lo. Somebody, I had an out-of-body experience, and I looked at my field, my life, and lo. How about if we really look at your life and be honest about it? And lo. So I looked at his field. It's so easy to look at somebody else's field and say, lo, and then talk about it. How about your field? And lo, oh my God. When I finally looked at myself, when I looked at my life, lo. By the way, let me just parenthetically say this. I got a nice compliment yesterday from Mary Rose. She says, I can't wait. I look way forward to you coming because you, we get lots of pastors, but you break it down. You tell us what it really means. I look forward to it. So I feel good today. Somebody appreciates what I'm doing. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Thorn bushes now. So now, do you want thorn bushes in your field?
No.
Okay, but they want to grow in your field. So how you prevent that? Oh, you got to work at it. I see. Okay. Or else the thorn bushes are going to be there. Okay, so if they're there, whose fault is it?
No.
I got it. So it was all grown over. I'm looking at this man's field, and it's got all these thorn bushes and nestles. A.K.A., for Pastor Trina, weeds. Okay? Now, I looked over at this man's field. Pastor Trina looks at the yard, and it's full of weeds. How do you feel about that, Pastor Trina?
I don't like that.
You don't like that. I know you don't. So I looked over at this lazy man's field, and it was all grown over. And weeds just covered the whole face of it, and not just that, the wall, just like the wall of the temple in the times of Nehemiah, was all broken down. And you remember those times when they're coming out of the Medo-Persian Empire and they went back to where the temple was, they went back to Jerusalem. What did they do? They had all these fancy houses, and the house of the Lord was still in disrepair. They did exactly what the Proverbs said not to do. And yet, they did it. And the Proverbs were there. The wisdom was known. And yet they ran all the way. Thank you, God. I'm not in the Medo-Persian Empire. I'm not in captivity anymore. And I'm going to go all the way home. And the first thing I'm going to do is build myself a palace. While I walk past the temple, and it's all in disrepair. First things first. Now, you may not need a house, right? You can live in a tent. But if you think about David, when he was in his best space, he says, I don't want my God to live in a tent anymore. He was God in a tent, right? Didn't stop him from being God, but he cared about God. He wanted to build him a house. I have a house. Why can't God have a house? Nothing wrong with having that kind of heart. But we want to build our house. That's what we're really motivated to do. If we flip that script and put our priorities on God, how will we handle our lives? How will we make our decisions? How quickly would we say yes? How quickly would we say no to temptation? If we had our priorities that way. Oh, so it ain't about just building a house being bad. It's whose house you want to build and why and when. That's the issue. There's so much. I'm just telling you, this thing is so beautiful that I'm savoring it. You want me to rush through it? I'm not. I'm savoring it. It's that good to me. How about that? Okay, that's good. It's that good to me. So it was all grown over, and the wall was also broken down. Now, he had time and energy and resources and equipment to build that wall. But he didn't. Why? Because he's lazy. What do lazy people do? They act lazy. So now we have laziness, which leads to neglect, which leads to a mess. Anybody got any messes? Well, so just put that thing in reverse and go back to where you can find where the neglect was. And then if you keep going back, you'll see how the neglect happened. You started out with laziness or failure to handle your business, slothfulness. We just see the mess. How'd this mess happen? Oh, my God. Reverse. What did I do? All right, I was neglectful because I was lazy and not handling business, because everything else is more fun than handling business. I just still think it's beautiful. Amen? So we have laziness, which leads to neglect, which leads to your big, fat mess. I'm picturing it. No, I won't go there. That example hits too close to home. Have you ever neglected anything, though? And it led to a mess? Or something being in disrepair? Amen. I got my daughter-in-law saying, amen. Hallelujah. So I don't know what picture she has in her mind, but she has one. Amen? Now, I love this next verse. So far, we're walking by this man's field, and we just see it. It's a mess. It's just a mess. We know he's lazy. All broken down. Now, do you think he's blind? It didn't say he's a blind man. So he can see the mess, and it's his mess. I can see his mess. Can't he see his mess? I see some finger pointing going on. Woo! Hey, I love this next verse, though. Verse 32. So now he's gone to the man's field, and he sees the mess. Then I saw and considered. So I didn't just do a drive-by. I stopped and considered. And I considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction. That's a great moment in your life. I looked at it. I considered it really well. And I had an epiphany. Ah. The light bulb came on. I'm walking down, and I see, oh, my God, that's the lazy man's house. And look at the mess. And I said, I didn't just say, well, a mess, all right, lazy guy. I said, no, I stopped. I paid attention. Because there's something more than just being able to judge this guy as lazy. There's something to be learned here. Let's see what we can learn from this guy's laziness that can help us reflect on our laziness. Amen?
Amen.
He gained this understanding by paying attention, considering it well, looking at this field and just a mess and a wall that's in disrepair, and there's a man there that could be working on it. but he's a lazy man. He doesn't like taking care of business. So we get to verse 33 and 34. It says, yet, now this is my epiphany now, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Anybody like sleeping around here? So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, I'm going to handle 33 and 34 as I get ready to close out. But let me first make sure you understand what 33 and 34 are saying, especially 34. So he has just said, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come. We understand what that means, right? Your calamity. He's talking about it in terms of financial wherewithal. You're going to be poor. And it's not going to be the world's fault. It won't be the man's fault. And it's going to come as one that traveleth and one that as an armed man. What he's talking about is basically somebody that will rip you off. Your poverty is going to be just like somebody that ripped you off. You're going to be that poor. You come home, all of a sudden your big screen's gone. All your valuables are gone. You're going to be like that. But it won't be because somebody else did it. You can act surprised if you want to when your situation ends up calamitous. You can act like somebody else did it to you if you want to. You can act all brand new if you want to. But you were there all along with plenty of opportunity. This is Solomon talking. I'm just giving voice to it. How about that? If you're mad at somebody, go talk to him. And then if you're mad at him, go talk to the God that gave him this great wisdom so he can look at people and say, I don't know who's the mother of the baby, but I do know something about mothering. I tell you what, slice it up. You know why? Because I know a mama won't let that happen. Bam, how you like me now? God helped me to understand the human condition, so now I can help humans. So I can stop and look at a man's, a lazy man's broken down wall and messed up field, and I can get more out of it than just the judgment that he's a lazy man with a broken down wall and a messed up field. I can get more out of it than just that's a lazy man being lazy. That's what God does when he gives you this beautiful proverbial understanding. What was the proverb about? It was about a lazy man who lacked knowledge, what? About the consequences of being lazy. I can help this man. I don't just have to judge this man because I can help this man. Because what is he missing? Knowledge, understanding about what happens when you're lazy. It's beautiful to me. So he says, I have an epiphany. Oh my God, I figured it out. Oh my goodness. Oh, it's so good. So this neglected field leads to poverty of this man as if something was stole from him. Nobody's fault but himself, but his own, right? So we're not surprised that he would rather sleep than pull weeds. Are we surprised? How many of us would rather sleep than pull weeds? So that's like nothing big, right? Nothing new. We identify with that part. But as often is the case, in Proverbs in particular, it's the things that we don't pay attention to that are the most important. Bible study people. It's the words that you don't pay attention to, just like we just sang the song, that are the most important. Because you can say, yeah, he's lazy, so his field is jacked up. Duh, what's new? But he stopped and he considered it, and he got an epiphany. Let's see what that is. It's such a beautiful thing. I hope you walk away understanding the beauty, appreciating the beauty. Amen?
Amen.
So it's the words that we drive right past that are the most important. So he says, I considered it well, and I looked upon it, and I received instruction. He says, yet a little sleep. What?
Little
slumber. And what? A little folding of the hands. A little sleep. Just a little nap. A little slumber. Slumber kind of usually means just nodding off a nap. A little folding of the hands to go to sleep. It's going to hit you soon. The point here is that your mess, your pain, your poverty, your calamity almost never comes all of a sudden. That man didn't sit there and he wasn't lazy for a day and his field got all messed up. He wasn't lazy one time and ended up with a broken down wall. Just a little sleep, just a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands to sleep. We can act all surprised like the thing just happened to us. We can act all brand new like it happened all of a sudden, like boom. But no, that's not what happens. The truth is that we make repeated bad decisions, repeated small doses of laziness. We take off our shoes and we leave them there. And then we go over here and we use something and we don't put it away. And then we start this and then we start the folding and we don't finish the folding. And then we start something else and we don't finish that something else. And then we know that it needs to be done, but now it's so much to be done, I can retreat into television or my game or whatever it is, my phone conversations, whatever it is. So the weeds start growing and I put it off. I'm not going to sleep for good. I'm just going to take a nap. I picture him saying, I'm not sleeping. I'm just resting my eyes. How many times can you tell that lie? So he wasn't Rip Van Winkle and woke up and the yard was like that. He made repeated decisions, repeated rationalizations. I'll be fine. I'm just a little sleep, a little slumber, just a little. Notice this. He's looking at this field that's jacked up, but he notices, wait a minute, just a little sleep, just a little slumber. That decision, which is true. Your sleep, your little nodding, your little nap, it's just a little. The problem is if you keep on doing that, you'll end up in a mess. You'll end up with a mess. And who made all those decisions? We did. And at some point, it was a mess. It wasn't a big old fat mess, but it was a mess. And you rationalized why you looked at the mess. So you can look at a mess and convince yourself it's okay to have a little sleep, a little slumber, a little throwing. And here's the thing, it gets so bad, you start psychologically working on yourself because you know it's so bad, you just don't have the energy to do it. And if somebody came up and told you your yard was a mess, you tell them it ain't a mess. Or you'd say, somebody else caused the mess. You would be all brand new like it just happened, poof. But you have to walk past that mess. Every day, you had to go out there, sit on your porch and look at that mess every day and make a choice to keep being lazy. That's the only way the wall gets all broken down. That's the only way that it gets completely grown over in weeds. You have to keep on being lazy. You have to keep on not taking care of business. So he sees this man and it looks like he was Rip Van Winkle and he just let it overgrow. But no, he made singular, smaller choices to be lazy. Singular, smaller choices not to take care of business. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. So your credit card bill, it doesn't just poof end up over what it should be. You had to get that statement, and you have to look at it to know what your minimum payment is. So if your bill gets way high, credit card bill gets way high, your credit card balance gets way high, guess what? You can't claim that you don't know, because you know you want to pay at least the minimum, and it doesn't stay the same all the time, especially if you keep charging. So guess what? You looked at that bill. Don't tell that lie. You looked at the bill, and you made the choice. You went to Vegas, you got your nails did, you got your hair done, you went to the game, you did whatever you did, you made your DirecTV on a higher tier, you did all that while you knowingly paid the minimum. And you did it over and over again, and you failed, you didn't want to look at the balance. Oh, you don't want to see that. Just, what's that minimum? I want to know the balance. Credit card didn't just jump up. You didn't get sick and go to the hospital and didn't have enough insurance and had to take your card that had a $20,000 balance and put $10,000 on it because something you couldn't control. No, you made decision after decision, click after click, or you went to the mall and went to the mall. Swipe after swipe. This is what we do. Oh, my God. How did my balance get to be this way? Oh, my goodness. Decision after decision after decision after decision after rationalization after rationalization after rationalization. He says, wait a minute. That mess didn't happen all at once. If your garage or your house is a mess, it's because you failed to take care of business over and over and over and over. I'm telling you, if you look at somebody's big old fat mess, do you know how much work it takes to make it a mess? Do you know how many times you have to not do what you should do? That's hard. If you trying to pack a truck, you trying to move, you know how many trips you got to do? Bam. You know how many trips you got to make? Bam. Do you know how many trips you got to make? Bam. And do you know how much work it takes to make that big a mess? It takes a lot of decisions to not do the right thing. Repeatedly. And nobody, if you got a credit card that's terrible, you're not going to charge it all in one day. If you got a garage or a house that's a mess, you don't just take a big old mess from somebody else's garage, lift it up like Samson, and drop it in your garage or your house. You literally have to do the thing that we say would be too exhausting to do. You have to go over here and put that there and not fix it. And then you got to come back. You got to come back again and do something else and put this down. You actually have to do a lot of work. You have to make a lot of decisions not to finish what you started, not to put that back where it's supposed to be, not to throw it away. Decisions, one at a time. So what he was able to see is the beautiful mind of this man, how he had to decide repeatedly, just a little sleep, a little slumber, and somehow let things get so jacked up and make those choices while it's getting all jacked up repeatedly, to have it be pretty darn jacked up and still say, just a little sleep, just a little slumber, just a little folding of the hands to sleep. Are you getting anything?
Amen.
It could be anything. I used a couple of examples that you might identify with. Or we could keep going. Your relationship didn't end up jacked up over one thing. And you know what? Let me tell you, the worst thing you could do, the worst thing, absolute, absolute worst thing you could do is get all highfalutin and get all dignified and get all self-righteous and say, just for that one thing, you're going to be all mad at me? You're a lie. It wasn't for the one thing. You did more than one thing. Seldom does a jacked up relationship come from one thing. No, it's a series of things, and that one thing you did tipped the scales, and now ain't putting up with it no more. You're just mad because you got caught. You're just mad because you got busted. You're just mad because your laziness or your failing to take care of business or your repeated small mistakes finally landed you in mistake jail. This is what we do. This is what we do. His epiphany is we get into those messes a little bit at a time. It don't happen suddenly. It doesn't happen overnight. It's not somebody else's fault. We are not a victim. I hope you're getting something. I think it's a beautiful proverb because it starts out, you're talking about this lazy guy, and of course his field is all jacked, a lazy guy. Well, you know, that doesn't happen all of a sudden. Huh. So we have a chance to understand this dude. He doesn't realize that this mess happens by repeated decisions. So you know what? He has that many opportunities to not let it be that way. Huh. So you don't just have to be a lazy man, terrible field. If I can get the lazy man to do something different the next time he has that impulse to have a little nap, one decision at a time, he can turn his decision around. If he goes and does a little weeding tomorrow, and he does a little weeding the next day, and he does a little weeding the next day, and he does a little weeding the next day, and he resists that temptation, and he resists that urge, you know what? That man can turn that thing around.
Amen.
By resisting the rationalization, oh, it's just a little. It's no big deal that I didn't finish that. It's no big deal that I didn't put that away. It's no big deal that, guess what? It is a big deal. If you can't see it's a big deal, now you got a bigger problem. That means you can't even see your calamity. You can't even see that it's a mess. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if we're lazy, if we procrastinate, if we neglect the fields in our lives, one decision at a time, if we rationalize, one rationalization at a time, that's how we end up with the messes that we have. Amen?
Amen.
If somebody were to look at your situation like that, you know what we might say? Oh, I was just too busy. I didn't have time. Anybody have that mistake or that excuse? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's just, oh, yeah, I don't have time. So God gave you 24 hours. You know, when you go on a diet sometimes, you have a diet diary, you write down everything you eat, and then you look at the truth. So if you didn't have enough time to go do those weeds, you didn't have enough time to put that thing away, you didn't have enough time, you didn't have enough resources to pay more than the minimum, lie. What else did you do? Put yourself, look at your statement, every single bit of it, and all the cash, and what did you actually do with the money that you had? What decisions did you make? The epiphany is, if I don't just look at the whole and I break it down into its parts, now I got individual decisions, now it's doable. If I just look at the mess, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. But guess what? One decision at a time. If I have one date night with my wife, it's like, oh, that's nice. That's what guys do when they're in trouble. What if I do it over and over again, and over and over again, and over and over again, and I make that the priority? What if I do it over and over again, over and over again? All of a sudden, that turns into something that a special place in her heart. That she sees me a certain way. But if I don't do that, and I don't do that, and she's not special, and she's not the priority, and something else is more important, and she doesn't matter as much to me, it doesn't matter what my words say, if my actions don't say it, over time, it's like, there's a big blow up. When did that happen? Didn't happen that day. Multiple, smaller events and decisions. That's the epiphany. That's the learning. That's the aha. So our story would be too busy. Our story is that we didn't have time. Our story is that we didn't have enough money. Our story is we didn't know. The field was there all along. Your statements come. You get the signals in your relationship, but you drive right by because you think you can get away with it. I'll fix it later. Wait till we get on vacation. I'll do something special for him or her. We have the time to do what we want. We have the money to buy what we want. We have the time to invest in the relationships that we want while we're sucking up at work. Because we know what we really want is to look good and to be able to brag and for somebody to be proud and for your ego to be stroked. And the place that you should be investing, you have the time, you have the energy, you have the ability. But people always do what they really want to do. So watch what they really want to do and diagnose what matters the most to them. Don't listen to what they say. Only what they do. So what's your version of sleeping? What's your version of napping? What's your version of just resting my eyes? It's not about sleep. It's about laziness. It's about priorities. It's about taking care of business. If you flip that script and start doing the right things, one at a time, you'll have a good work ethic and you'll have good decisions repeatedly. And you'll end up in a better place. So do what you should do and do it now. Don't allow a little sleep, a little slumber, a little excuse, a little rationalizations to ruin your life because they add up. So let's avoid or eliminate, if we can, the messes in our lives. Don't let it get, don't you get it twisted and think this is all an agrarian example. Don't you think that it doesn't apply to us because you're talking about a field and we're not in an agricultural society. Let's use the understanding that we've gained today to make our lives better. Amen.